Christmas is over. Don't you feel it is?
The child is born, and the angels have sung, and angels have gone back to heaven. And our Christmas Eve services, which are beautiful, are offered to the Lord with 1,000 people here. As the carols were sung and as the candles were being lit and shared. And what about in your home? In your home, though the tree might be still up, but I'm sure that it's empty underneath. And speaking of the gift of children's toys that we have prepared for our children have been played with and discarded. And the gift that nobody wanted will soon be returned to the stores. The party is over and the guests have already left for their homes. Like this, on the one hand, we feel that Christmas seems to be over. But on the other hand, we don't like to see that Christmas festivity goes away. So we keep the decorations lighting up and we keep Christmas music being played on. Like this, the point is we know that Christmas comes and goes. Christmas excitement and stress come and go. Life seems to be returning to some kind of the normal, whatever the normal might be in your life. Think about the people at the first Christmas, the shepherd who was summoned by the angel have visited the baby in the manger, and they now have returned home. After 8 days had passed, we continue to hear from the Gospel of Luke. It was time to circumcise the child, and he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Then the Bible recorded three actions that the parents took. Verses 21 through 24 are not memorable lines for Christmas pageant. Have you ever seen in the Christmas pageant, the Holy Family were rushed to register their child and to offer the child to the temple? No. But Mother Mary and Father Joseph had things to take care of after all the high moments on the first Christmas day and night. Their to-do list includes this: the ritual of the circumcision, the naming of the child, and the offering of sacrifice in the temple. Each of these three actions all like expresses their fidelity to God and to the Torah covenant, giving their whole obedience to the instructions from God encoded in the law of Moses in the first five books of the Old Testament. In this passage of four verses, which part of their back to normal life draws your attention? Anything? You may say, oh, there is nothing worthy of our attention in these four verses. Then we skip. Yes, these verses 21 through 24. But today, I'd like to think more with you about the second act, the giving of the name of Jesus to the Christ child. We would miss the significance of their action of giving a name to the newborn child if we took it as only an action to give him a label or a way to distinguish one from the next by giving one name to the child. I know for parents to give their child a name is certainly something very meaningful. There is a certain hope and prayer that is going along with the naming of a child. So there is a reason why I, as a parent, gave my daughter the first and middle name of Claire Soan. Soan means hope. And to my son, the first and middle name of Clay Juwon. Juwon in Korean, the one that God wants. And I know very well why my parents gave me the name Pyong'an, means peace. However, as for Mary and Joseph, the name Jesus was not a name that was thought up by them. It was, as we know, the name that the angel had told them he would be named. Would Mary and Joseph have hoped that the baby who was being named Jesus would become a hero and mighty warrior and great political leader like Joshua, whose name had the same meaning as Jesus? Joshua, the Old Testament hero, led Israel into the promised land and in the triumphant victory over their enemies by his great leadership and might, having gained respect and fame from the people. No, Mary and Joseph knew very well what it would mean to give the child the name Jesus. It meant that their lives would be forever changed with this baby whose name is Jesus. By naming their boy Jesus, which means the Lord saves, Mary and Joseph opened their arms and released their son to God. And they accepted that he was not a child just for them, but a child for the world. And I wonder if at that point Mary and Joseph might have said, "No, no, we are not going to name him that way. He is ours. We don't want to lose him. See how cute he is, how pure he is. We want him to grow as an ordinary Jewish boy like other children. We want it to be just an ordinary family." They might want to name the child anything but Jesus, anything but the name of the one who was foretold to bring suffering into his own life, even as he would bring salvation to the world. Looking at the baby Jesus, they must have felt privileged, but perhaps more sharply, they must have felt troubled, as they did one by one, to fulfill the prophecy of the suffering Son of God. It's because the child was the gift that would be taken from them as it would pierce their heart. And here is one story. At Sunday school, children were drawing pictures that illustrate biblical stories. The teacher walked by and noticed one little boy drawing an airplane. Can you imagine what airplane means, have things to do with the Bible? And, "Oh, sweetie, oh, what Bible story are you drawing?" the teacher asked. And the boy answered, "This is the flight into Egypt." Of course, the boy was right. After Jesus was born, the Holy Family had to flee to Egypt to escape from King Herod's murderous vow to kill all baby boys 2 years old and under. The Sunday school boy went on to show who are in on the airplane to Egypt. Here are Mary, Joseph, and this baby Jesus, and this, as he points to the front of the plane, "This is Pontius. He is a pilot." You get it? Yeah. The boy was right. Again, Mary and Joseph, who were with Jesus when he was born and who gave him the name of Jesus as told by the angel, and who did everything they could to protect the vulnerable Christ child, have stood by Jesus all the way. It's because they believed
from the moments of the Annunciation and from the moment of the first Christmas time, all through the years the Christ child grew, and to the moment of crucifixion. They believed because they experienced that Jesus is the gift, not just to both of them, but to the whole world. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love for the world. This Jesus always bears God's name and nature, which is love. And this Jesus helps us know better who we are to God. And it is because we needed to be reminded of it that we celebrate Christmas and hear the story again every year. Brazilian theologian Leonard Boff said this: "We Christians find that the God of the Jewish, pagan, and world religious experience has become concrete in a man whose name is Jesus of Nazareth, in his life, words, and deeds, in his death and resurrection. We Christians learn the meaning of human persons, our root and true humanity, by meditating on the human life of Jesus Christ. By seeing, imitating, and deciphering Jesus, and by living together with him, we come to know God and human beings. The God who, in and through Jesus, reveals himself is a human. And the human being who emerges in and through Jesus is divine. Now we see that the gap between us and God has been reduced. In that way, new horizon in our understanding of who God is and who we are is being opened and rising at Christmas when the baby is called Jesus. And there is no better time than now to read the vision of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Which is the second scripture for today. "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first thing have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. God has a home among us. Like the good news of Christmas, the words here in Revelation spoken by Jesus are meant to grab our attentions as we hear the words, "See, I am making all things new." These are good words for this weekend, aren't they? As we are at the close of 1 year and the threshold of a new one, we are thinking these days in terms of a fresh start. And at the same time, we are feeling personal and societal pains and anxieties. And then we are tempted to stay with what is old and familiar, or to sneak back into the manger with the baby Jesus, where it feels warm and safe. But it's very true that life should continue on. And that is true that life, no matter whether we want it or not, continues on. Revelation and new beginnings initiated by God loom on the new horizon. new road appears up ahead. In front of us, a new road that will take us, if we choose to let them, into new adventures, new challenges, new opportunities to be the persons whom God is making us to be. Then, here I am thinking of Jacob, who was at the Jabbok River when he was on the road that he had not taken for more than a decade, though it was a road leading to his home. We read in the book of Genesis that Jacob, who was named Jacob because he was grabbing the heel of his twin brother as they emerged from the mother's womb, this Jacob fled his home after he deceived his old and half-blind father, Isaac, into thinking that he was his brother, Esau. And in this way, he stole Esau's paternal blessing. Then Jacob now is returning home. Again, it has been more than 15 years since he ran away from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him for stealing what rightfully belonged to the firstborn son. At the river bank, Jacob receives word from one of his servants that his brother Esau is coming to meet him with an army of 400 men. Being fearful of what will happen to him, Jacob is hastened to cross the river. He hides away half of his treasures. Then with what is left, he sends three caravans of gift ahead to Esau, intending to appease him. And sends the rest of his servants and families across the river, hoping that his brother would have pity on him at the sight of his defenseless wives and children. And then it happened, being accompanied only by his own frustrated scheme, which reveals nothing but his fear and anxiety, Jacob was attacked by a stranger. And both of them wrestled together all night long. And you may ask, who is this strange assailant? The Bible doesn't answer the questions until the end of this story. The story goes on to say that as daylight approaches and Jacob seems to not give up, and his opponent dislocated Jacob's hip and demanded release, "Let me go." But Jacob cried, "I am not letting you go until you bless me." To which the opponent, soon to be revealed as the Lord, responded, "Tell me your name." He answered, "My name is Jacob." Think about what it must have meant for him to name himself Jacob, which means the usurper or the supplanter. The Lord said to Jacob, "Your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, your name is Israel, because you have wrestled with God and have prevailed." And with this story, I've come to realization again that in authentically acknowledging the strengths and weakness we have, God renamed us and created us anew. To conclude this sermon, yes, let's have our eyes and attention on this painting, which is also available in the Joy Notes this week. Over the centuries, many artists painted this topic, Jacob wrestling with God. Most of the paintings I found depict the trial of strength in that Jacob and God jostled with each other and hustled the other out of the place. But Jack Baumgartner's, his painting is quite different. By bending their bodies and holding the lower part of their opponent, both Jacob and God look like having got mingled with each other and even embracing each other. Of course, we see distinction between the two. First, we see Jacob's lowered bowed head and his bent right knee, which tell us of his humility and worship. But at the same time, in the muscles all over his body, we see his persistent striving. I would like to win. I would like to go on. And what about God we see in this painting? With God's left hand, God is grabbing Jacob's ankle, the part of his body that symbolizes what kind of life Jacob has been living up to that moment. Then I see God's right hand, which leads our eyes to the swirling ribbon and God's robe, of which the color and swirling is the same as the ribbon. As for me, at first, the arms of God are seeming to pin Jacob. But the more I see it with this painting, the more I feel the arms of God are seeming to sustain and embrace Jacob. Like this, on the one hand, in our lives, we experience as if God wrestles with us, fights against us. However, it is also true that on the other hand, we know that God embraces us and fights for us so that we can move forward in the direction that he opened up for the future, so that we can move forward, though we may limp, but always get armed with the love, commitment, and courage of the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we always bear not just the scar, but also the name of Jesus, in and through whom we set free. Friends, this day, on the threshold of a new year, this is my prayer for you, that all that you feel inside, either thanksgiving or regret, either relief or worries, either anticipation or wistfulness, all the feelings that you carry this day may come together and find peace and hope in the knowledge that God has given you a new name and new identity. Whatever you and I have been in the eyes of others, we have a greater name in the eyes of God. Each of us is a beloved creation of God, for whom God came down at Christmas in the form of a baby who was named Jesus, God the Savior, the one who saves us and frees us to make us live to the fullest of life. You and I are reason for Jesus to come to the earth, and Jesus is then the foundation for our being and our identity. Thus, Jesus is the hope for our future. The light of Jesus Christ rises now. May the light of Jesus Christ shines brightly on each of us as we journey anew in the new year with God's given name and identity that we find in and through the one whose name is Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.